because I
think a story, a parable, if you have,
this is usually full screen.
He was taught by the Lord Jesus Christ about the Pharisee and the publican or the tax collector.
But it's coming in stereo, and I don't know what this other line is, unless it's just a dividing.
Chapter 18, you read this portion of Scripture. Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 9.
That fan is loud.
Mm-hmm.
And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that you, that the Spirit of God would make good sense of this to us, so we can make practical applications to our own individual lives. Lord, we pray that we would be like this publican, who would desire to have one-on-one heart communication with thee and thee alone. And Lord, would you cause each and every one of us to just think on our own selves, to examine our own selves, to ask ourselves the important questions. Are we in the faith? Are we trusting in the sacrifice of the Lamb of God for our sins? Would you bless our time together as we come to this table of remembrance, remembering the Lamb of God who shed his sins for the sins of the world. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You notice in this very simple parable, the Lord Jesus Christ talks about these two individuals. One of them reached the Lord, and the other did not. The one prayed a prayer that does not reach God. And the other prayed a prayer that definitely struck the very heart of Almighty God. There's a powerful point. There's a few points in this that the Lord Jesus Christ was making. First of all, certain foolish ones trust in themselves that they are righteous. And others who are far wiser know that they are far from God and need God's help. It's the latter that we want to consider this morning, this publican. That's right, the tax collector. Because he best represents all who rightfully attend the Lord's Supper, the table of remembrance. Because the communion table is only for those who are in communion with God. Those who have made peace with him through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. And we who at one time and many times since sins, we know that he promised he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Those who have turned to God in faith and in repentance, even the forgiveness of sins is given unto them. Isn't it a wonderful thing that we can be forgiven, not based on anything that we have done, not based on any righteousness that we might claim? For we know that the prophet of old said that our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. And in us, that is in ourselves, in our own righteousness, there's no good thing. And so we come to that same conclusion. And we have, if you are a child of God, somewhere along the way, you have prayed something similar to this man's prayer who said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. The way that's written in the original language, I'm sure I've told you before over the years, is it's actually written, God be merciful to me, the sinner. It's a definite article, the sinner. And what that indicates to us is that he was all alone before God, and he wasn't thinking of anyone else. Not even this Pharisee that was praying this flowery prayer and praising himself for all the things that he was not. And yet, here is this one who is knowing his need. And he says, God be merciful to me. I am a sinner. And when people of God, when people come to that place where you have this personal heart dealing with God, forget all that's happened, forget all the negative things, forget all your own behavior for a moment, and just ask the Lord to forgive you of all your sin, be merciful to you. That word that's translated merciful is a verb form of the word mercy seat, which brings us back to the Ark of the Covenant, the Jewish temple. You remember all the stories in the Old Testament about the Ark of the Covenant. It could be, this passage of scripture could, his prayer could be literally but awkwardly translated, be mercy seated toward me, or treat me as one that comes on the basis of the blood shed on the mercy seat as an offering for sin. You remember in the Old Testament that there was a day of atonement when the blood of the animal was sprinkled on the mercy seat. And that atoned for the sins of the people from year to year. The Ark of the Covenant was a box about 3 feet long. And you remember what it contained? It contained the law of Moses. One of the things, it contained the law of Moses. And the law of Moses is what every single one of us have broken. And so we would come, you know, James, remember what James said in James chapter 2, if we keep the whole law and yet offend at one point, what? We're guilty of all of it. So we're all a bunch of lawbreakers. This publican, this tax collector, he recognized that very fact, that he needed mercy from God. He needed a blood atonement. And the lid of that box, you remember, it had at each end, it had angels with outstretched wings, almost meeting together over the mercy seat. Between those wings is where God dwelt. Here's where the mercy seat comes in and why it is called the mercy seat. Upon the Ark of the Covenant, once a year, the priest would sprinkle the blood of the animal on that mercy seat as a substitute. What had a temporary substitute, because it had to be completed every single year, he law of Moses that we have all broken, but he sees the blood of the innocent victim. Getting the picture that's coming into focus here with us? God sees the punishment was meted out and paid for. Atonement was made. God was satisfied. And to use a New Testament word, he was propitiated. He was satisfied with that sacrifice. The Old Testament picture that I'm talking about with the mercy seat. And remember that word, be merciful, comes from that same idea, the same word. It's unmistakable. It's unmistakable what Jesus Christ our Lord was getting at. It is a beautiful to see redeemed sinners being forgiven of their sins. This is why the prayer of the tax collector was so profound. Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. It embodies his faith in a way of salvation by sacrifice. In the Old Testament, these people knew that sacrifice was covering their sins. They knew they were guilty. Literally, me, the sinner, describes all who come to the mercy seat. When the tax collector prayed, God be merciful to me, the sinner, you get this sense that he was just all alone with God. He was confessing his sins before Almighty God. He knew he was guilty. He knew he was undone. He knew he needed help. He was having true heart dealings with God. Have you ever had true heart dealings with God? God delights in this, by the way. He loves us to come to him. And this tax collector was also thinking of these animal sacrifices. Innocent animals whose blood was a covering for his sins, because at this point, the Lord Jesus Christ, though he was present, he had not died yet as the Lamb of God. You notice that theme in our hymns this morning, and what Kelly was playing with the Lamb of God is so appropriate for this day that we remember, especially the Lamb of God in remembrance of this table. But we find out that this tax collector, although he may not have understood all the implications of the sacrifice of Christ, when we come to the table, we think of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And isn't it more blessed for us in New Testament times to know that this sacrifice the other did not. Justification. That means to be declared righteous in God's eyes. That's one of the miracles that takes place when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And no one will ever be received of God who has not first taken a stand with sinners like this publican in need of mercy that God alone provides. Do you remember coming to God that way and saying, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner? Because this parable really boils down to being about justification by faith. And it's faith. It's not in oneself. Oh, no, no, no. That is made abundantly clear, is it not? This is what we see in this passage of Scripture. We see that those who trust in themselves are counting on their own righteousness. They are all about self. They live for themselves. They're out for number one. It's all about number one. And they despise others, thinking so highly of themselves. This is a dead end. With the way of the tax collector praying, God be merciful to me, the sinner, realizing that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. This is the way to justification. This is this doctrine of justification is like Atlas. It bears the world on its shoulders, and the entire evangelical knowledge of saving grace is based on the justification by faith in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Paul wrote this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation. That's just what the publican was asking. Propitiation. Mercy, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood. That's what we're talking about, faith in the blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. For the remission of sins, that he might be the just and justifier of him which believed in Jesus. Have you believed in Jesus Christ? Have you cried out to him? And he cried out to God the way this publican did. God be merciful to me, the sinner. Says the closing line, I tell you, this man, that is a publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased or made small. And he that humbled himself shall be exalted. So we have this passage of Scripture. And it's a time of remembering that God does resist the proud and give grace unto the humble, those who have come to him. And this story is the one about the one who saves to the uttermost all that come. So let us make sure that we examine ourselves. The Pharisee was all alone. And the publican was all alone and open before God. He was not looking around. He was not looking at others. He was looking within. He was humbly looking up, having those personal dealings with God. These are the things that please God the most. And when we come to this table, let us remember this wonderful Savior that we live for and serve. And let us be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of our Lord. For as much as we know that our labor is not in vain, but we would be the Word of the Savior to serve once we have been saved. Are you a child of God? Have you trusted in God?